Please turn with me in the Word of God to the first epistle, the second epistle. We'll get there. Second epistle of Peter and the first chapter. The second epistle of Peter and the first chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. We thank the Lord again for the reading of his word. Let's ask the Lord's help as we consider the words that he has written. Now, Father, we thank thee that we are able to open up this book. And we thank thee, Lord, for the wonder of it. But we find that the deeper we search, the deeper it goes. And, Father, the more references that we cross within the Scripture, the more wonders we behold. And Lord, it is like the stars of the firmament, that as we behold them, we see, as we look deeper, the more of the glories of the creation which thou hast made. And Lord, we thank thee for the glory of thy word. We pray that thou hast blessed it to us now. And Father, as we consider it for this short time this morning, that thou hast inspire us to search the Scriptures, for in them we have a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us now, we pray thee. Help me as I bring forth this message this morning. We pray, Lord, that it might be used of thee for thy glory and for the salvation of souls and for the strengthening of thy people. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to take as my text these words from verse 19, where we read, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." The apostle seeks to put them in remembrance of the things which they had heard, the gospel which had been preached to them, that through the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him, salvation would be theirs. Not by the works of their hands, but by the grace of God, and through faith. And he speaks of the things which he had seen, even the observation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration, and the hearing of the words of God which came from heaven when he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We see there in verse 17. And he tells us where he was in the Holy Mount when he heard these words which came from heaven. And he gives that testimony. But then afterwards he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Because these words he heard, he saw them, but he is saying to us, you haven't actually heard those things. You weren't there in the Mount. There were just the three of us with the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard those things. But there is a more sure word of prophecy. And that more sure word of prophecy is the Scripture of truth. And that tells us forth the wonders of God and the wonders of Jesus Christ. There is a verse there which follows, and it says in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. This is taken by some as saying that we can't just read the Bible for ourselves and understand what it says. The Roman Catholic Church, for instance, teaches this very doctrine, that you can only understand the Scripture that is told to you by the priest or by the magisterium of the Church. And therefore, you can't just read the Bible for yourself and understand it for yourself. You need an interpreter. But of course, that puts a middleman in. And the middleman can say anything that they like and interpret any way that they like. A man always likes to have authority and power over others. But the words here don't actually mean that at all. Because we can see, as we continue to the next verse, that it is explained for us. For, because the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The private interpretation is that these aren't things which people thought up for themselves and thought that would be nice if that happened and wrote it down. It wasn't that kind of a private understanding of the prophets as they wrote the Scripture. But it was that God moved them and God spake by them. And so those words are what is being spoken of there in the private interpretation. The word itself is given to all of us, and we are exhorted in the Scripture to search the Scriptures. And even we know the Lord Jesus Christ says to the Pharisees and the scribes, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." That is, just owning the Scriptures ye have eternal life. But he says, "But they are they which testify of me." You're supposed to be not just holding the Bible, not just having one in your presence and saying, "Well, the Scriptures were given to me, so I'm all right." But he says, search the Scriptures, read them. It's not having them, it's not just holding them, it's understanding them, which is what you need. And of course they didn't understand, and therefore they took and slew the Lord of glory. And so the word of God is what the apostle is speaking of here, when he says we have also a more sure word of prophecy. I want to think about three lights of revelation here this morning from this verse. First of all, the light of disclosure. Secondly, the light of dawn. And thirdly, the light of day. The light of disclosure. Well, the apostle says in this verse that it would be good for us, whereunto, he says, ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. What is this that we are to take heed of? Well, at the beginning of the verse, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And therefore, he says, take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And we are to take heed of the light. We are to look by the light. Let the light shine upon those dark places. My margin has for that word dark place a murky place. It's difficult to see in a murky place. We can, if we look very, very hard, might be able to make out some outlines of things and think we can see what we're looking for. That's if we know what's there. But in a murky place, we might be very careful what we put our hand upon, because with just an outline and just a very blurred vision of it, we're careful what we take hold of. But here is a light. Here is a light to shine upon it. And right from the Old Testament, when we go back to the psalmist testimony, we read in Psalm 119 all about the Word of God. And he's given different titles there. He's spoken of as the commandment. He's spoken of as the law. He's spoken of as the statutes, as testimonies. And many other words are used for the word of God. But in one particular verse, 105 of that long psalm, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." These are the words of testimony of David, the man who's described in the scripture as a man after God's own heart. He had learned through his life that the word of God was his guide, that the word of God would take him where he needed to go, that it would show up the dangers, and that it would show him the path of life. And he followed that path. And there were times when he set aside that light. There was a time when he was judged, and the prophet Nathan comes to him and says, "Thou art the man." But he had most of the part of his life that soft heart, and even when Nathan said that, he understood immediately what he was saying, because the light had been in his life. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I wonder this morning, do we have that lamp? Are we using that light to shine upon the things of this world, to shine upon our own hearts, that we might understand what is going on there? And then in the Old Testament also, David's son Solomon, we see there the sage's teaching. He was a sagacious man. He was a wise man, a sage, we might use the term for him. And he has a proverb there in chapter 6 and verse 23 of the Proverbs. He says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. How often do we learn, even as children, that the way that we are to walk is one which we have learned by reproofs? Because we have tried something, and that reproof may come from a parent, it may come from a teacher, it may come from a policeman, I suppose. But those reproofs come, and we learn not to do that. Not to do that. Sometimes the reproof comes as a consequence of the action, of course. We might touch something which is hot, and we are burned, and we feel the pain, and we learn that's not what we must do. That's a reproof. And here, the wise man is saying that the commandment is a lamp. It is a light. It is a reproof of instruction. It shows us the things that are wrong, that we might walk in the way which is right. And it is a blessing to us if we follow this light of disclosure. We do well if we take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Because a dark place is our heart. The Bible says that it is a fool who trusts in his own heart. It's a dark place. How often do we wonder what we should do in situations? We don't really have any light. And where do we turn? Sometimes we turn to parents. Sometimes we turn to friends. Sometimes we just muse over the situation. Sometimes we just go potluck. But the Bible tells us that we ought to look into this perfect law of liberty, and it will teach us the right way. It's a commandment. It is a lamp and a light. And then we see the Saviour's talk himself. In Luke's Gospel, in chapter 24 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus is walking there with the two on the road to Emmaus. And they're sad. They're sad because the one that they thought was going to be Messiah, the one that they thought was going to deliver them, had just been crucified upon a cross. And here, as they walk on this road, Jesus himself, being resurrected from the dead, joins himself to their company. And he says, "Well, why are you sad?" And they said, "Well, have you not heard? Where have you been? That one that we thought would deliver Israel has died upon the cross, and they have put him to death." And Jesus then takes the scriptures, and it says that he, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, of course, what Peter is saying here is that we can learn of Christ through the scriptures. He says, I was convinced. Well, I was convinced before I went up into the Mount of Transfiguration. And perhaps that's why Jesus took him and James and John with him. Because they were already sure who Jesus was. And Jesus asked the question, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some people think you're John the Baptist. And some think that you're Elias." And Jesus says, "Well, who do you think that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was sure before he went up there. But he said, "When I was there, I heard a voice from heaven.
And I saw Christ transfigured before me, and he was glistering and glorious.
And there's no one who's going to convince me any other way. But he says, for you, you haven't seen those things, but the scriptures. The scriptures are a light that shineth in a dark place. And here, Jesus is speaking of the scriptures. And he is saying, but look at the scriptures. Look at the scriptures. Because they testify of me. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounds, he opens up, he shows them that all the many, many things, all the way through the Old Testament, which refer to him. And they begin to see how those prophecies have come to pass in the life of the Lord Jesus. Even his death upon the cross. Even his resurrection from the dead. And they see those things that the Saviour has spoken. It's a light of disclosure. It discloses the hidden things of God. The things which Paul so often speaks of as being the mysteries. And he says, but they're not a mystery to you. They're not a mystery to me. Because they have been revealed to us by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And then we think also of the servants thinking. The servants thinking. In Acts chapter 10, it is Peter again who is speaking there. And in the 43rd verse, he says, and perhaps with reference even to this, he wasn't one of those on the road to Emmaus, but he would have heard of what had happened there. And he says there to him, that is to Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. How are we saved? Isn't that the most important question in all of life? How are we saved? How are we forgiven? How do we inherit heaven? How do we know that when we die, we will be in the presence of God, not to suffer his wrath, but to see his smile? How do we know this? That's the question. And Peter answers the question. That all the prophets give witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is the word. This is the testimony. This is the gospel. And why is it a gospel? Why is it good news? Because it is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. 2 Timothy also, the Apostle Paul, this time writing to Timothy, says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You have known the scriptures. So here is this light of disclosure. It is the word of God. The word that you have in your hands today. The word which you are able to go home and read. The word which you are able to understand. And if you can't understand it, then pray over it. Say, Lord, help me to understand this. If you have a Bible with a column down the centre or either side of the page, follow the cross references. In this day and age, we are greatly blessed with many things which can instruct us and teach us all kinds of commentaries and cross references that we can look at. And many things come to light as we begin to search the scriptures. They testify of Christ. They testify of salvation. They testify of the Saviour. So here is the light of disclosure then. A more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark and murky place. Until the day dawn, we read. Until the day dawn. And here we have the dawning of the day. The shining through, as the margin has. Until it shines through, the day dawn. Those of you who are Christians here this morning will remember the effect of the word. You'll remember the time. You may not know when that time was. You may not be able to go back to a day and say, yes, I was saved on such and such a day. But you'll remember the time when all of a sudden the gospel made sense. That it was for you. I remember that time where just suddenly the scriptures made sense, and I began to read them again, and things began to fall into place, and I could see what they meant. Never really understood them before, although I was brought up in the church. I didn't really understand the word of God, but all of a sudden I began to understand it.
It began to make sense to me. I began to see more and more from it, and it opened up and opened up. It dawned upon me. We use that terminology, don't we? All of a sudden it dawned upon me. Or all of a sudden the penny dropped. It's just that moment when the scriptures dawn upon us. Of course, it won't dawn upon us if we're not looking at the scriptures. Or if we're not hearing the scriptures. If they're not being preached to us. If we're avoiding them. But it says that we should take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day shine through, until the day dawn. The light of dawn. Well, there's a promise in the Word of God, and we read it earlier today in Isaiah in chapter 9. And there it tells us in verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Now, of course, you can read through Isaiah, and you can apply it to the days of Isaiah. And the Jews did that and do it still. And when it comes to the servant in Isaiah, they think of that as being, normally they think of it as being the nation of Israel. And they still read it, as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, with a veil across their face. And they're not seeing what the Word of God says. But we don't have to go very far until we understand what is being said to us. That the light has come, that they that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And just in verse 6 of that same chapter, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The more we think about it, the more we realize that there is a little more here than just meets the eye. It is poetic, and as we've said before, that Hebrew poetry works quite often in couplets, so something is said twice in slightly different language. But when we look at this, surely we see exactly that. "Unto us a child is born." It's the Lord Jesus Christ, a man, child born, laid in the manger, come into this world for a great purpose, which we will look at something to do with that this evening. "But also unto us a son is given. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the government shall be upon his shoulder." And the more we search the scripture, we find that the high priest that was amongst the children of Israel, who offered the great sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, had upon his shoulders epaulets with the names of the tribes of Israel. "The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." Because, of course, with Christ's government, it's not by overtaking and destroying nations. It's not by violence. It's not by the sword. It's by the Word of God. It's by bringing peace. It's by bringing salvation. And as the government increases, and as the people are added to his kingdom, so he rules over them. But by peace, and not by anger. By peace, and not by the rod. By peace, and not by the sword. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here is the promise of salvation. In the Old Testament, that Peter says, take heed to the Old Testament. Take heed to that light that shines in the murky place until the day dawn. The promise, the performance. Then also, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 78, here we have the story which is revealed to us by Luke of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and those things which happened around his birth. In chapter 1 and verse 78, we see these words. Through the tender mercy of God, we'll go from verse 77 in fact, to give knowledge, we'll go from verse 26, because he's speaking of John the Baptist in actual fact at the beginning. So verse 76 it says, "And thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest." That's John the Baptist is the prophet of the highest. "For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death,
to guide our feet in the way of peace. You recognize those words? They come from Isaiah 9. And he is prophesying here, and he is saying that the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The performance of the prophecy is fulfilled in Christ. He has come. He is the child that is born. He is the son that is given. The light of dawn. Has it dawned upon you that this very Jesus is the salvation of the world? That he is the deliverer who was for to come? And that salvation is through him? There is a prompting also in this light of dawn. As it begins to dawn upon us, again, we see those words from Solomon, from Proverbs 6:23. We read them earlier. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. See, as this begins to dawn upon us, we begin to see that we are in need of salvation. As we consider the Word of God, and we see the threatenings in the Word of God, we see the law in the Word of God, as it convicts us and brings us into that position where we are, where we fear God. Martin Luther said that he couldn't love God. He feared God. He was terrified of God. He wouldn't draw near to God until he understood the gospel. And then he recognized that all those things were to drive him to Christ. We see in this day and age so many who have become atheists, or at least call themselves atheists. I call them, usually they are Christian atheists, because it's against the God of the Bible that they rail. It's not against the other gods. They say, well, nobody believes in them anyway. But it's this one, it's this God that people are willing to give their lives for, that people are willing to go and preach for. It's this God. But what is it that they hate? Is it the Christians? After all, what do? Apart from believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and tell other people? Not exactly dangerous, are we? Or is it God? They hate God because they are convicted, because God brings them under conviction of sin, and instead of coming and turning to him for salvation, they rail against him. Say, there is no God. We can do as we like. And that's a response to the law of God. But the prompting of the commandment is a lamp. The law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. If we follow after them, we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. For we see Jesus. In Numbers 24 and verse 17. Numbers, this is the words of Moses. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So early in the scripture, we see the king who is prophesied has to come. And then the third of the lights is the light of day. It says, the day star arise in your hearts. Now the word day star is translated in the Greek classics and in all the Greek writings as being a planet, as the planet Venus, which is the morning star. But I'm going to suggest that it may not only be the morning star in the context of Scripture. Sometimes there are words which are used by the apostles and used in the Scripture which have upon them their own meaning, which they have been taken because they are the word which means something, but it can also mean something else in its etymology. And here, when the light of day comes, we see the proclamation of Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 8 and verse 12 when he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It is the light bearer, the actual word here in the Greek means the bearer of light, the light bearer. Well, of course that can refer to a star, but it can refer also to the star. Our own star, Sol, we call it, the sun, which is up there, the light of day. When the light of day begins to dawn, arises in our hearts. And Jesus Christ is the light. He is the great light. He's not the sun, of course. We don't worship the sun, just to make that clear. But he is the great light of day. In heaven, we're told in Revelation, there is no sun, there is no moon.
because God and Christ are the light of it. He is the great light.
Until the light of day comes, rises in our hearts. We read in that scripture, which conveys to us what Peter is referencing here when he speaks about the hearing the voice from heaven, from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." In Matthew 17 and verse 2 it says, "And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." The Son of righteousness. It is Christ. Has Christ arisen in your hearts? Have you seen the light? Are you taking heed to the light of the scripture?
Has the truth dawned upon your hearts?
Has the light of the glorious gospel shone in to lighten those dark places? Do you see the sin and the corruption which is there? And have you come and trusted in Christ? You ask him into your heart. Do you have the full light of the glory of God dwelling within you? For Christ is that light. It could be in that presentation, even the presentation this morning of the gospel, that there is still a darkness upon your heart. The Apostle Paul again in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, the God of this world." Now, many say the God of this world refers to the devil. And maybe it does, because we only have the words of Scripture and the interpretation we have to work through.
But I often think, is the God of this world actually the God of this world? We are coming up to Christmas, and many people are worshipping the God of this world.
It's the world that they want. They don't want God. They want the world. They want the drinking of the world. They want the drugs of the world. They want the presents at Christmas. They want all the fun of Christmas. They want days off from work. They want the world. It's the God of this world. Does it not blind the minds of them that believe not? Is it not that which takes away our hearts so often from the truth of the gospel? Isn't it that that stops people coming into the house of God to hear the gospel? "Oh, I've got shopping to do today. The car's filthy. I must clean that this morning.
Oh, there's some football on this afternoon.
I need to get other things done so I can sit down and watch it. I'm going off to watch the rugby today." Or whatever else it may be. The God of this world. Many Christians were greatly upset when the decision was made to open all the shops on the Lord's Day. It used to be that all the shops were closed on a Sunday. You might get a few corner shops here and there, but going back further, you couldn't even get petrol on a Sunday because all the petrol stations were closed on a Sunday. Everything closed down on a Sunday. And people came to church. But now you can do anything. And the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. It's the world which has filled their hearts. But can we take the world with us? Does the world not end for us when we die? Do we not enter in, as it were, to another world? And what then, if we have not Christ? In Romans 5:19 we read, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Have you seen Christ? It is Christ by whom we are made righteous. The light of day. Has the light arisen in your heart? And then we see the prospect. The prospect. In Proverbs 4 verse 18, I remember preaching on this verse many years ago. It's probably more years ago than I imagine, in actual fact. But it's a tremendous verse, this. "The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." If you're a Christian here this morning, then we have a prospect before us of the light which shines more and more. Is it shining more and more in your life? Are you learning more and more of Christ? Are you more and more rejoicing as we see more and more about the Lord Jesus and more about God and about his purposes and about that day when we will stand before him? Your hearts enlightened? Are they blessed? Do you rejoice in Christ? There's some strange verses in the scripture, and just a couple of those I want to set before you as we think about that prospect of being with Christ, which is far better. In Revelation 22, verse 16, we read, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. These are the words in Revelation, I am the bright and morning star. In Revelation 2, which is right at the beginning, we have those same words of the morning star. But there it is Christ speaking, and he is speaking to the church, I think at Thyatira. And it says there, I will give him the morning star. I will give him the morning star. Are you Christ's? Is Christ yours? Christ says, I will give him the morning star. I will give you salvation. You will be with me. And the scripture speaks in wonderful terms of a body where Christ is the head and we are the members. We are the arms, we are the legs, we are the kidneys, we are the body. I will give you the morning star. And again in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16 it says, and in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Do we have the strength of the Lord? But then in Matthew 13:43, it says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What is the countenance of Christ? As the sun shineth in his strength. What is it that it says of those who walk with Christ? Then the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, because we are in Christ. The glory that is set before us, the prospect that is set before us, the light of day, the glories of heaven, presented in Christ. And the apostle begins by having seen the glory of Christ. He saw his majesty. In verse 16 it says, the Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He'd seen the glory of Christ. But we shall all see, if we are Christ, the glory of Christ. Indeed, we will share the very glory of Christ as we shine as the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Do you know Christ? Have you called upon him? Does he walk with you? Do you walk with him? The blessing of the Lord upon your life and in your soul. This is Peter's exhortation, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for such a revelation which is made throughout the scriptures, from the very book of Genesis at the beginning to the end of the book of Revelation, revelations of Christ. Lord, we pray that each one might know him, that we might have that great prospect of salvation. Bless our souls, we pray. Bless thy word to our hearts. Lord, use this word for thine own glory and for thine own purposes. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.